Talk Show. It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 572.
What's happening, guys? What's going on?
We're just having a bit of a laugh at Kevin Hart and his AirPods.
Oh, his new doco series. What's it called? Something don't fuck this up.
It's good.
It's, yeah. I mean.
Fair to say he fucked it up.
He's fucked a lot up. He's a guy that leans into his honesty. I don't know if it's. Until he gets caught, though. Yeah, yeah. So he like.
What's the other op? What options does he have?
He's got no other option. His life is a full on movie. Mm-hmm. Like, what's happened to him? I mean, it's not that it's been overly tragic, but he's just the uber success from zero is amazing. And I can't, like, I watch it and I go through this moment of like, he's a fucking egomaniac. He's a narcissist to like. Look at the self-belief. I fucking love this guy. Like, yeah, I'm pumped. I want to be as successful as he is.
I'm a narcissist.
But I think my that's my highlight of 2019. I think there is a level of judgment from, you know, the people who aren't in the arena like he is at that level.
Actual arenas.
Actual arenas. Because it's like whether it's tall poppy syndrome or something where I'm just like someone who is so confident in what they do and the moves they're making and where they want to go. And then you kind of, it's like, you do want to like just fucking chill out a bit, bro.
But is it because, so the tall poppy thing, if he didn't have all of the things happen, so the controversy, would there still be the tall poppy?
Yeah. I think when you're getting a glimpse into their world, like through a doco series, that's where the only part I'm judging. Like I'm saying, I've recognized the judgment I cast, and then I'm trying to like step back from it to go, you know, because I'm writing emotions of judgment, then like love. It's like, it's this weird thing that I think a lot of people do unconsciously. So I'm just like trying to do that consciously. But he does do some very outrageous things, like how he wears his AirPods in conversations.
Yeah, in meetings. The thing is, AirPods only last for like 3 hours for battery.
So unless he's got some from Apple that have just super-powered AirPods.
Yeah. I'm just trying to work out how you do it. Could you have multiple pairs attached to an iPhone that could easily be used? I don't know.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, he's got an assistant. Mm. With him all the time. He's got people around him. He's got a crew around him of his mates who he's brought up with him.
He's worked it out.
And that's why I like seeing the generosity of him and the honesty with him. I listened to a podcast, Aubrey Marcus, who owns Onnit, the academy in the protein supplements and supplements. Anyway, one of Joe Rogan's mates, he was in an open relationship and they broke up.
And then he went, so conveniently when he also went off sex. He's that guy.
He's that guy, yeah. He quit sex for a while.
I think he still has, or maybe
no, he since had sex the breakup. With his ex-girlfriend.
Oh,
or
really?
Or the person that he was with.
That didn't last long.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I listened to this podcast of him and his ex-partner, and they were talking about the whole experience and how they've grown. But I was like, whatever you think about open relationships is not the point of this. His honesty and ability to talk about what he's feeling and communicate that is inspiring for me. And so for this year, I want to be more.
In an open relationship.
No. I want to be able to speak my.
Come on, use your words.
Thoughts and be able to share more that I would usually keep in because I see it as something that is powerful. And so I had this moment where when I was listening to this podcast, I was like, for Amy and I, when we first got together, Amy hadn't had as many partners as I have. She had zero and then met me, so I'm the one. And then I had had a different past, more explorative, a bit what's his name?
Levison.
A bit like Levison.
I actually don't know Levison's sexual history, to be honest.
No, but I'm just saying adventurous. And so I'd kept things from her. It's not lying. It's actually, so it's like just not, it's just withholding information because I didn't think that she could handle it or whatever it was, right? So I made that decision.
Big number.
But then I was thinking about it. I was like, that's exercising a muscle by leaving in things that I'm thinking about and if,
and it's also you, so you're hiding part of yourself.
Yeah, I know.
So and there's so, a lot of guilt in that.
And so one of the things this year is I've got a rule that I have to talk to Amy about whatever is on my mind if I am thinking something. Or
is that why when you're on the beach and you looked at that person's ass, you said, I'm looking at that person's ass?
Yeah, I told her I looked at someone's ass. Yeah. Don't tell the rest of that fucking story. But I did. And I mean, she's like, well, I doesn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. But I'm honest and I'm like-
Do you think she's ready for it? Yes.
That's also why I want to lean into it. But it's also the other reason is that I think it's training the muscle. It's not training muscle by keeping it all in relation to anything that you, when you're in a relationship. How do you go with, I mean, you're very open and talk your thoughts, mm-hmm. probably too much sometimes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think I'm pretty honest. The funny thing, well, I saw old mate Craig Harper did a post where, because we talk about radical honesty. Did you see this post?
Oh, yeah.
He's like-
maybe you just listened to Ep 14. Well,
the thing is like, I'm hearing all people talk about radical honesty. That's probably us, right? He's like, it's fucking bullshit.
Is it?
You're either being honest or you're being dishonest.
So can you find this? Because it's a post recently.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of his-
Yeah, one of the last. Here we go.
Radical honesty. This is a term I've heard quite a few times recently, and I find it weird. Weird because radical honesty infers that there are levels of honesty. A bit honest, pretty honest, more honest, very honest, and radically honest. Seemingly the most honest. Call me old-fashioned, but back in the day, we dinosaurs used these two groundbreaking terms, honest and dishonest.
Mm.
That's it.
So, no, how about this? Fair. What about this? To challenge Craig, because he's not here. It's always easy to challenge Craig when he's not here.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things, I guess, that we're learning in society is that we have different masks. And so, potentially, with the different masks comes different honesty systems or different filters that we use. Mm. And so, the question becomes, what is honesty? What are our thoughts? If you think something, do you believe that?
Not necessarily. If you're thinking about a belief.
And so some people-
if you're thinking something, then there's a level of mindfulness to identify if that thought is a part of your belief system.
And so sometimes our thoughts are incongruent with our system, like our operate, or like our belief system.
Yes.
Right. So we might think something, but it's actually doesn't really align well with who we are as a person.
Mm.
So if we're honest about that thought, we are communicating a thought that is out of alignment with how we feel we want to be. And so I guess the question can then be, do we want to then put ourselves out there? If it's that, what did Jason Fox talk about? He talks about pretending. So it's like pretending. If you say your thought, does it actually make it more real? Is that what we're scared of?
Of making the thoughts in our heads real by verbalizing them.
Yeah. So if you have a thought, potentially you can say, that is just a thought. That isn't my belief system. Mm. I don't believe that thing. And so I'm not going to communicate it out loud, because when I communicate it out loud, the verbalization is through my belief system, potentially.
So then you go, like the emotional response behind some, when you hear something like open relationships, right? You can be quick to judge based on how it makes you feel, based on your, and how it would apply to you in your life, right? And then so that emotive response and then the thought of what does that mean for me? Does that forms your belief, right? So you've got the thinking, but also the emotional feeling within you that then sort of backs up something. But
so potentially, if you're thinking something and not saying it, you're still saying it through maybe other actions.
I mean, yeah,
through shame, through all those things.
Yeah, but maybe. I mean, we're not talking about just like how much random shit. Like I felt like once I just wanted to punch someone in the head.
Mm.
But I don't, and so like, you I don't said, actually want to
punch you in the head.
Yeah, that's. I was never going to punch
you
in the head.
You've done it before. You've said it before, though.
In my life, I've probably said to someone, I'll punch you in the head.
Yeah. Or I want to punch you in the head.
And then I have punched someone in the head. So that's not me anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's like the thoughts, the darker stuff where you're like, if I push this person right now, or I grab the policeman's gun right now. Mm-hmm. Like these are just like random shit going on that you never act on. So there's like a willpower or something going inside you that your moral system acting and so.
Or when there's heaps of people around, you start to think about like, oh, how much destruction could happen if there was a bomb or something went off, how many people would like, and that is part of like, I guess, primed through the media, right? And you're like, oh, like I saw on the news, like all these people, like people getting run over by a car, like, oh, fuck, I'm in like a big group of people, like all these things.
I mean, when bad shit happens, like say I've done that, I've been in New York City and thought, fuck, imagine if something happened. I wonder if there's people where something has happened where they're thinking, fuck, imagine if something happened right now. And then something happens.
Well, like what do they call it? There's a term for that. It's the basically where you we have like however many thoughts a day.
60-something thousand. Yeah.
And so sometimes those thoughts come to fruition and it's like the bias. It's something bias. But basically like we have all these – it's like the whole thing around
confirmation bias. We're looking for signs that connect to the thought in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So a thousand things happen in a day or whatever. And so if you have one thought that matches up, you're like, oh, look, there we go. There's confirmation bias. Is that what it is, Sevs? What is confirmation bias?
And there's all like the power of thought. So if you are having a bunch of negative thoughts that are just flying into your brain, flying into your sort of – your consciousness, it can be different, right?
Do you allow in your mind, Amy, to have a negative response to things that you're saying, honestly?
I can't control her response. Yeah, I cannot control her response.
Do you think about that? Because I guess there is a, you hear people being like, oh, no, I'm just super honest. Like, you know, the people... like bullies or whatever, right? They're like, oh, you know, I'm just like a real honest person.
Who the fuck is that?
It's like, oh, no, you're just an asshole.
Yeah.
And so there's a reason why we hold things back because it can hurt. So like if I think something about someone, I have a choice whether I say it or I don't say it. If I – is it selfish to say, okay, I'm just going to say everything – so it's not inside.
I don't think when I say that with Amy, I'm telling her what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. It's
still through.
It's not so my just stream of sift. Thought. It's not my stream of thought. It's more what would I normally not mention to her in a moment that she may ask, "What's going on? What are you thinking?"
Yeah, sure.
And so it's more going, I can't tell you my thoughts every moment because. There's so much random shit. Think about when you guys have been doing the meditation, the random shit that comes into your brain.
Yeah.
It's like last night I thought about something that happened so long ago and I was like, how did that come in? I don't know. Anyway, I acknowledged it and moved on. And then another thought came in and then I got back to sort of being a bit more focused and then random shit. So it's not about just every random moment. It's about acknowledging the times where you go, I would keep this where I could share it and I won't. And so then you build the muscle around holding it back. And so my thing for this year is like honesty more so that serves the whole thing and being open. It's like it's not even – it's openness rather than honesty, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that it potentially requires people to be ready. Like not everyone's going to be – not everyone likes openness. Yeah. Like there's people like farting. There's a bunch of people who now are like, ah, don't talk about farting. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
One star, cancelled. You know? No farting. No talk of farting.
Yeah.
It's like if you can't accept – I said it in our chat with Dear Valor. It's like if you're having a relationship, fart early because you want to like bring the friction forward because 97 where there's friction –
there's traction.
Yeah, thank you.
But that is a belief that you have. And so the thing around the open relationship stuff is the belief can be, I think it's okay to be in open relationships. The opposite is that I don't know, like that doesn't work for anybody. So there are two beliefs that are pretty firm, which makes you think that there is alternative approaches to life. And so whatever I think, and even so it's like going, it's okay for me to feel uncomfortable about them who do that thing. Mm-hmm. But there's also, let's acknowledge that and have a look at it. And so let's actually have a conversation about it.
Potentially, like, do you think that, have you changed much as a person in the last 2 years, do you think?
Oh, shit loads. A heap.
Do you think that you become more empathetic to others? Because if you look at yourself 2 years ago, do you see yourself as a different person, or what does that look like?
Yeah, definitely a different person. Was I less empathetic? Probably. Mm-hmm. But I don't, it's weird because you're looking back at yourself as a different person. So you're like, what was going on there? I can't even remember thinking way I did. When you have a new system or a new approach to life, where
you forget the time there was distant. Dark mode on the phone. Is it dark mode? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, because all these things just become a thing. And it's like, like we've always been able to do this.
Good tech analogy. No, I definitely.
And so do you think you become empathetic of other people because you're like, I didn't know this 2 years ago. So why should I expect this person to?
Yeah. Not even that. Sorry, I wasn't even really listening to that, but I was thinking to you.
That's what is that? Openness.
Openness. So
I don't like this openness.
So I tell you what, there's like starting the mindfulness stuff mm-hmm. is like, and it's ironic because, not ironic, I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah.
Waking up the app, which is Sam Harris's app, mm-hmm. waking up. I feel like I've woken up. Mm-hmm. That's not being
you're woke.
That's not being nah, woke. You're woke.
He said he's woke.
It's not being woke. But it is
one step
from as work. Soon as you try hard at not being consumed by the thoughts just flying into your head mm-hmm. and start more observing what's happening and why I'm feeling that way and having this kind of a conversation, it's almost like you can't go back because you're so not obsessed, but you can't not think about why you're having these thoughts and why mm-hmm. you're experiencing. Like, so there's this step to the side, which makes me feel like, that's why I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever stop. I won't ever stop meditating because mm-hmm. I can't remember the old guy and what he used to fucking do mm-hmm. when he was constantly trapped. I still am. Mm-hmm. So it's not like some fucking paradise over here, mm-hmm. but it is like, what was I doing 2 years ago when I was having blow up with you? Like, mm-hmm. I just wasn't as conscious mm-hmm. about the whole thing.
And so if you look at identity, how do you avoid, so say from an identity point of view, it's pretty common that like blokes lead with like, you know, they're know-it-alls. They want to fix everything. Mm-hmm. They've got all the answers. There's like the reason that I want to read up on Iran is so that when in some sort of obscure conversation where someone says something about an article they read.
Yeah.
I can be like, well, it's actually because of the blah, 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 and this happened and that happened. And so I identify that. I identify that the know-it-all in me wants to know all about Iran purely for the one time that I'm in a Persian restaurant and I can mention every dish and I can tell them how they made it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so deep, right? Because there's the path you could go down as to why you even think like that. Mm-hmm. But then there's the path to go down of, okay, but what's behind that? Don't even, like, there's not much behind that.
Yeah, maybe
that.
I want to learn and so I'm using it as a mechanism. I'm like, oh, this is a fun, like some people learn to use a yo-yo, like do yo-yo tricks or magic. Like why do people want to learn magic?
But so there's like psychoanalysis where you could probably find, you know, going to a psychoanalysis to, what are they called? A psychoanalyzer? No, but someone who can perform psychoanalysis on you, which would sort of uncover all of these things about why you act the way you do based on past experiences. It could be because you need it. I don't know. There's all this dumb shit that I don't know is that practical. You're an interesting one because I think you're super self-aware, but there's the self-awareness that you've done, the piece of work mm-hmm. to realize and be able to verbalize and be mm-hmm. open about you being that guy that loves that. Because mm-hmm. that's like, then I could say, is it positive for you, do you think?
Well, that's the whole thing. I'm aware, but I still do it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like there's,
but that's like the meta modernism stuff, right? That's what like Jason Fox talks about. It's like you're entering in and out of different states.
But so it is like, becoming like the hard thing about even being aware of it is, and not acting on changing it if it isn't positive for you, it still then becomes identity for you.
Yeah, but I guess maybe what I'm trying to do is not to create a perfect being.
Mm.
So I think that potentially if you know all these things, if you find all these gotchas of like, you're doing it because of this and doing it because of that, and like, where do you end up? And so maybe like with the whole masks type thing and like not looking at everything black and white and being a bit grey, maybe there is something of I'm doing this because of this identity thing, which is okay, and it actually like identity serves me. And so what I find interesting around the wokeness thing is-
I never said that.
Just the general idea of being woke or being more woke. Is that a symptom of the next layer of know-it-allism, which is
not know-it-allism, I don't think.
I just made that word up.
No, I'm glad you said it. Yeah.
But so like if you think about it, if you're a know-it-all and you've identified potentially that people think you're a know-it-all, being woke- or saying, I realized I was this person and now I'm something different is the ultimate power move, because now you're like, I'm aware of that or whatever, but it could potentially come from the same identity, which is the know-it-all, because like wokeness and being woke and doing all of that is a toolkit. And so it's like, look, I nailed all of this toolkit. Now I'm going to do the spiritual toolkit, because once I've spent enough time in that.
I think all that's happened in that moment is someone acting unconsciously, they've become conscious of their acting unconsciously.
But the thing is that maybe like,
I see
like
what you mean.
Because the thing is like you've just become conscious to this one little layer, but you 100%. Haven't. And so the thing is that there isn't conscious and unconscious, because just zooming out a tiny bit, you could then look at it as like consciousness. Maybe we've become more conscious, but we haven't become conscious.
So let's say mindless and mindful are probably the right words to strip back the conscious and unconscious.
Maybe less mindless?
Less mindless, but I think the thing is that even what I say is like creating some framing around my thoughts on the thing, right?
But then from an identity point of view.
And then you step back from that because there's another layer. So you're right, the onion does get stripped back, but that is where these Buddhist meditation does take you down that path to nothing. You're trying to strip it all back.
But my know-it-allism is doing something now, which is basically a gotcha, because if you come back, like if you think about the conversation, if you say anything, I can use that as the framing of, well, you just know it all. You know everything, right? And so it's a very hard position to be in. And
I think like we're talking about ourselves, right? We're not talking about others. I think if you want to know yourself, you should. Like you should lean into that, because I don't think it's
unhealthy. But what is our, and so I guess what is ourself? I think the more that we think about ourself, the more we think about culture. What is our culture? So like you look at using the Iran example, whatever, because I'm an expert. Ask me anything. Jake, I need those books, by the way. If you think about culture and you look at like media and then you see like, okay, this perspective, I guess what I'm trying to do potentially is enter into another perspective, enter into if I was of this, if I grew up in this way, if I was born this way, what would my perspective actually be?
Which is yourself. So you're saying like, what has been the cultural influences to form the thing that I identify as myself?
And so the thing is that there is so much power in differences, or identifying what the differences are, because the way that you approach life and the way that I approach life has differences based on our upbringing and where we went to school and who our friends were and the things that we were taught and so all of that, like it's very confusing.
I mean that's building yourself to how you identify and your thought process, and you're giving reason to all
where does thinking come from?
It's happening without our control.
And so if you go like, so if it's happening without our control, then what is thinking?
Oh, dude. Thanks for asking me. I'm actually well versed on the No. What is, mate? I don't know.
So if we go back to year 12 IT, which I failed, by the way, because I didn't do my fucking Excel sack, my spreadsheet sack.
But you did informatics.
No, I did IT. But they had a section which was like, you had to do all the spreadsheets.
What happened in this that could contribute to this conversation?
Garbage in, garbage out information, right? So it's like if you put in bad information, you get bad information out. If you have all these experiences, if you're like, oh, I'm just unconscious to things, things just happen, it's like a gut instinct. Is gut instinct not just a memory bank of everything that has happened? So if I'm crossing the road and a car starts to speed up, I should run so I don't get hit. Where do we learn that?
And so what's your thought around
the thing is it's like
that's information that we understand. That I don't know how much that's gut instinct.
From a thinking perspective, what is thinking? And if we're not thinking, we are still thinking, just from a, whether it's conscious or unconscious, like our actions. So if all the things that have ever happened to us brings us to a point of who we are and what we are and our identity. And so I guess there's just, I don't know. I mean, it's a bit of a rabbit hole.
The thought thing.
But so the thing is, so part of it is like, oh, it just is. Like, I don't know why I do this thing, but it just is.
Who says that?
Well, like, I don't know. Just say if that's an approach, or like, oh, like I'm not really thinking about it. I'm just doing. There are a bunch of things that are happening that are informing how you're responding.
Mm.
And it's, we don't necessarily.
Of course, yeah. It's.
What do you think, Sebs?
Neural pathways.
Yeah.
Just buzzwords.
Yeah, a bunch of them. It's just your thinking's probably just a collation of everything that you've experienced and learnt and been through. And I don't know about the whole, like the instinctive thing versus thinking about it, like with the car crossing the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, but that's just like an unconscious thing that happens. It's just like something running in the background that whether you pick that up and learnt that from somewhere
it's learning. I think about Bodhi, I'm teaching him because he doesn't have any understanding that if he goes on the road, he will get hit by a car.
Yeah.
And so you start drilling it into them, and so then they start making the connection. Mm-hmm. But then that's going to be never thought about again. It just is.
But then the thing is, some people could have a crazy response. Like, so people who say there's people who jaywalk and there's people who don't jaywalk. And you're like, mate, just cross the road. What are you doing? It's probably because they nearly got fucking hit by a car when they were five was a big deal. Maybe.
Maybe.
But what's the other option?
That they're
Just happy they're waiting risk-averse. For the lights.
They just, they do the analysis like everyone else, but it's just
analysis they've worked out. Analysis based on
the reality of standing in front of a car, you get hit, you die.
Based on?
The understanding of that.
The understanding of that is?
I
like
think
the action, like they're, like what the, what's happened to them in their life. Like, how do you understand risk? And like it may not have been a car, but it could have been a train, or it could have been like fucking heights or whatever it is. But those things that have happened are still going to inform where we see risk. If we grow up every single weekend going and climbing rocks, then the way that we look at rock climbing is potentially less risky.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But then, so with kids, like there are some friends of Bodhi's that are terrified of the slides and they're so young, like they haven't had much experience, like, and there's been no huge accident. And so there is, like, it's the nature in the child as well
that like can contribute.
So it's like,
they even talk about like generational trauma. So they talk like people who've been through the Holocaust and all that sort of thing. And then they look at their family members and see that the trauma actually goes through genes.
Mm-mm.
And so it's, I don't fucking understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, or am I a know-it-all?
No, I get what you're trying to get at with the car thing. But it's so layered because there's, like what you said, generational trauma. There's understanding of things that have happened to you in your past.
But so then the interesting thing, I guess, is like, does it all lead just to empathy? So understanding that if we can't even identify it, if we don't know the memories or the things that have the unconscious actions have happened throughout our life, how would everyone else know and how would we know what their experiences are?
What's this serving though? Like what is-
Empathy.
But and so where are you relating the empathy to this?
So the just in the sense of if we, like we never arrive, so we never like, so speaking in like absolutes of like, I used to be this way and now I'm this way or things like that. I guess it's just avoiding absolutes in some way because it's
saying, and the
like,
hard bit is they serve you as well in some respects.
Well, that's what I'm saying with the identity stuff, right? Like you can be conscious of it and conscious that I do this thing.
Yeah.
But then if we're interacting with other people, realizing that their operating system is different and they've been going through different things.
I had this conversation with Craig Hubbard and I mentioned to you, it's like I see the sort of the cliff you step off into that spiritual world where you take it really seriously, but if it does consume you and it, all this stuff, all these constructs, they don't mean anything, right? We give it the meaning. And so you can see how it's like, it's a slippery slope to nothing because nothing, there's, I mean, all of this is nothing really, but in reality, there's bills to pay, jobs to get. We all need to sort of live a life,
which
right?
Which is culture.
Which is, yeah.
Do you think, like, because if you think about it, like there's-
Of course, because-
There's other countries where
people living in the mountains in India that are super happy and they're having one meal a day and, like, that doesn't matter.
So I guess the thing is the unconscious version of ourselves, if the unconscious version of ourselves is rocking up to work, paying our bills, doing all that sort of thing is-
I don't know if it's- So there is the unconscious version of that, but you can be conscious about the fact that that is something you need to do in your life. We need to have a roof over our head if we want to have some level of
comfort. Well, so yeah, there's those universal needs or whatever.
I think the way- maybe you can look at this for yourself and go, the intensity and the focus you put on the future of- developing your world and what we're doing and the show, what does that even mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you choose to sort of pursue that? Why does it need an intensity? Why does it sometimes need anxiety? Why, you know, as well as all the great stuff that happens along the way? Like,
I think that's the mechanism of entering into things and then out of things. So if you're like, you know what, like I'm detached to outcome, if you're always detached to outcome, would you do anything? So if you've got
with the focus.
Yeah, like from-
But you'd do a bunch of stuff. So the focus on-
Bunch of stuff based on what?
So, but hang on, the detached from outcome is removing the emphasis on what it gives you, what you get at the end of doing something. And so there is a life to live that isn't that, and thinking about that happiness or whatever you think will bring you, and living in this, which is either the moment, like actually enjoying and being grateful and being present with every moment, that can bring an extreme level of happiness and all the other emotions.
I guess there needs to be a framework still, because if you are detached from an outcome. And you just be present and do things unconsciously or whatever it is. Mm. Is that what you think? Like, is it unconscious? Like,
I don't think
I don't think it's unconsciously.
I think it's being just living in consciousness and experiencing. And I mean, who are we talking about here? Are we talking about just someone who's been working?
I'm trying to frame it in myself and what that
would
look
like. I think
it's
just being more present.
Mm-hmm. And because the thing is, I guess if you, from the outcome perspective, if you're detached from the outcome, does that mean that you just end up playing the finite games of everyone else's outcomes?
No, and so this is where I'm saying it's a slippery slope to just live a life of zero outcome, because there is all the things like rent and food and a life that we want to live. And so we need to balance.
Which is the construct, right? Which is the interesting thing is, like, so what you're saying is it's like-
No, but I'm talking about realities. Like, just, so if you strip it back from success and buying a house, I'm talking about having any money to survive in this world.
Money is a construct though.
Yeah, I know that, but stop trying to outsmart all of that. But I'm just saying-
I'm literally saying that. Like the thing about realities, if you're saying no, but just the reality is- There's multiple realities depending on where you look at it. I know,
but if you were to look at just even existing in Melbourne for you, Australia.
So that's a culture thing. So it's like what do within the reality of Melbourne and what it means to have this identity, living in Collingwood, having this life, it means, okay, I need to buy a Mocha Master.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. So you're jumping from living a life of zero outcome to, I think you're jumping way over here, which then just like fucks up this conversation about having living your life now with less outcome driven, and what would that mean to you? So if there was no outcome, what would you be doing? Outcome focus.
So whilst there might not be a long-term outcome, there is the every day. Like what are the things that I want to do every day that brings a little bit of light into my life or the people around me?
Mm.
And in some ways that's an outcome based on the day.
Yeah.
And so I think potentially what you're talking about, which I agree with and what I've implemented, is like I'm way less – I have sort of – an idea of potentially maybe where things could go, but I understand that it's coming from the window in which I'm standing right now and realizing that as we walk along a hallway, we might actually throughout all the years, if the hallway is a representation of the years we've lived, it could be a completely different view. And if I base an outcome decision based on what I'm seeing now, I might be missing the whole other thing.
Mm.
And so then what can you do is you can look at the very small outcome of getting one step in front of the other. So you're walking along.
Which is being present with where you're at the moment, which is, but then I also think the hard thing for me is wanting to be present, but also wanting to live a life that I am more comfortable. Like there's satisfaction, like there's all these constructs, if you're going to call it that, that are based on
like geography. Well, like using geography as an example, living in Melbourne
versus Bondi.
Or anywhere, right? Well, the interesting thing is like there's a lot of similarities in culture. If you were to go from Melbourne to a completely different place, right? Completely culturally very different. Your version of the step in front of the other or the daily thing could be very different, which I think is why geography, like where we choose to live, if we have the privilege of being able to pick where we live, can determine all the other things.
Oh, 100%. Taking a job in Melbourne, I wouldn't be here doing this podcast with you because I was living in Sydney.
And so then
there's these little moments.
And I guess that's part of it is it's like, so we can't just say, oh, I'm just going to live my life and just do what I have to do. Like I'm going to be detached from outcome, but the willingness to recognize that, oh no, like I've chosen to live here and do all this sort of thing, which like, it's almost like I've accepted the game, the game I'm willing to play. And now I'm just going to play the game. And I think that potentially there is a,
I mean, yeah, it's so... It's so tricky because you see the people that have put everything into a career, made a lot of money, and then they go on the pursuit of comfort or the pursuit of no outcome after the that fact, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it is. It's like the game is a good analogy because that's what I struggle with of it all doesn't mean much, but we also need to be – there is a game.
Meaning,
so if I'm not doing this, I have to do something – because well, then what?
Well, I guess part of it becomes, so say like the goal of being a great dad. Is that something that resonates with you, being a great dad?
Not a goal of being a great dad. I want to be a great dad. I hope I am a great dad.
And so then I guess from a cultural point of view, there is a construct of what it means to be a great dad.
I think it's pretty murky.
So this is the whole thing, right? So it's like, that's where the culture stuff, like in some societies, being a great dad means
cash.
Yeah, being at work, getting everything done so that you can keep your family going and being a support. For other people, it's for other cultures, it's being home and being present and doing all that sort of thing. And so that's where I guess geography and culture actually, if you aren't conscious of those things, we end up just we end up picking a game potentially. I don't know.
It's all coming back to mindfulness, to be honest. Like, because most people are within the game. They've got a job. They're trying to provide. They're in a place. They might not want to be there. Then it's like, if you can understand that and have some level of, because if you're not happy, if you can't find, and this is hard because there's people in very tricky situations, but if you can't find some peace in this moment of where you're at, why is it going to be, it's not going to be over here at some other version that you think that you want to be at.
So what happens if, like, so say if you're someone very different or you are different to what you were 2 years ago, what happens with the decisions you made 2 years ago that creates the situation that you're in now? So for instance,
well, I'm living them.
Yeah.
I'm living the decisions I made.
We always need to be constantly like pointing the compass to make sure that we're going in the right, I guess a compass sort of moves anyway. Just like you need to be making sure that you're going in the right direction because if you're like, if we say, okay, I'm not going to be doing X, Y, and Z now, I'm just going to live. We're essentially like just selecting the game maybe. We're saying, you know what, like these three things that I did, like where I'm going to live, the friends I hang out with, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, how are you looking back on the last 2 years or looking back 2 years to the decisions you made then? And if you do feel different about them as a person now, you don't have to make those decisions again. It can be shifting the compass for yourself. Mm-hmm. Where is it? Mm-hmm. And if it was off before, well, you think it's off where you are now, you think it was off back then, there is some difference in you, you can then realign. That's why we are not who we were 2 years ago, and we don't have to be that person anymore. We have an opportunity every day to be a new version, or a better version, or more aligned version. Just takes some thinking and internalizing or mindfulness around it.
Serves anyone in the Facebook group?
Emma says, it's also a choice. I moved to the Gold Coast from Melbourne, but people say you're so lucky. But they could do it too. It's all choice and weighing it up. You can actually leave Melbourne and have a lower wage but a happier life, etc.
Great.
Love it.
Scooter Derek's also pumped. His AirPods arrived today. $15. So they're
definitely not AirPods.
$15.
Yeah.
Wonder how what they're like quality wise.
Wonder who bloody made those too.
Definitely not ethical. Yeah, who was he asking about whether your porn was ethical?
Scooter.
Yeah. Which is a good question. Anyway, if you enjoyed the show, leave us an Apple Podcast review. We have been getting a bunch of reviews, which we appreciate.
Anyone came through, Sev, didn't they?
Yeah, we got one this morning. Fun content and easy to listen to any time of the day. Three kind, funny and quirky Aussie dudes keep me happy and mindful every day. Haven't missed an episode since 2018.
Amazing.
Smartest Gronk, Dr. K.
Oh, Dr. K, thank you. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com is the email address if you want to send us an email. Also, that Facebook group, we've been live streaming. We're just doing it on, it's a closed Facebook group.
Yeah.
So if you just type in The Daily Talk Show on the Facebook search, you'll find us there.
I let someone in this morning.
Without answering the question.
Two people. They answered the questions.
Wrong.
That's okay, dude. There's a couple of battlers out there.
I think it was none of them were my friends.
I didn't know
the person from Austin.
Don't know who they are.
The one who wrote Amy is Queen Gronk.
Yeah, is that Amy? Is that Amy's friend?
Don't know.
It's not my friend. I don't know.
Okay.
So I let them in because I think it's a bit stinky to let people just hang, especially the ones who haven't answered the question. You should message them because my rule would just be.
So did you message them? What did they say?
No, I didn't message them. I'm saying you guys who came up with the question thing should message the ones who haven't written anything and say, hey, you haven't answered the question. We need to let you in. Bit stinky if you just let people hang.
But you're letting anyone in.
No, let people in who have attempted. So
that's the only requirement is that you
give it a good crack. Like they need to follow the rules, which are give it, try and answer it. So there's nice, Amy, maybe.
No, we know who Queen Gronk is.
No, well, I know who Queen Gronk is too. More,
we're trying to just get a sense of who, like, the buy-in on the show. And I just want to make sure that, like, they're not questions about us. Like, we've specifically said Gronk because it's like...
When did you start listening? Maybe we just change the question up.
Now, when did you start listening?
That's a good one.
Someone said 2 months ago. Great. Don't believe you. If you can't answer the first question... I'm sus. And so the thing is, we want to make sure that we've got a community filled with people that are interested. And so I just want to make sure we can change the question to make it bit more.
I don't enter groups.
Who are the hosts?
I don't enter groups if I'm not interested anymore.
What about but a lot of people do.
Well, I think
we don't want to dead wood is essentially what. And so if you can't work it, if you can't go through our Instagram, what do you think, Sevs?
No, I think we let them hang. If they can't answer Queen Gronk, then.
Sure.
That's, I mean, Tom also agrees.
Well, I think if they
agrees.
Give it a crack.
Tom also said, let them hang, need some standards.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Give it a crack. So I think if they give it a go, they get in. But if they don't give it a go and they are just written nothing,
I think
you guys need to at
message.
Least say
it's,
to them,
maybe it's
hey,
a message.
We'd love to have you in the program, we'd love to have you in the group. Can you answer? Because then I could imagine me doing that. Just fucking, I didn't know that was bloody questions.
Yeah, no, I think the people who answer them wrong, don't know about that.
They've given it a crack, mate.
It depends
Look
what
at
it
you.
Is.
You're an Aussie battler.
So the Amy
just
thing,
giving it a bloody
but crack. I can see why you let them in because they know a partner within the Gronk squad. So it's like, I get that. But there's just that consideration too around Where do we draw the line? If they came up with said who's Queen Gronk, and they said ScoMo,
that's quite funny. I'd let them in
because that could be
Gronk,
anyone.
ScoMo, that's funny.
That could be anyone
funny.
Though, right?
Let them in. Just fucking, they just want to have a poke around.
No, it's our house. Take the fucking shoes off. anyone else say?
Glenn said, "Did Friday's location for drinks get sorted?"
Yeah, Glenn. Yeah. We'll message you, but it is happening.
No, just tell everyone.
I'll say it right now, as well as message you. It's happening at Moondog OG in Abbotsford. I repeat, Moondog OG. 5 p.m. onwards, we'll be arriving. We've got a reserve section. Mm-hmm. Spoke to my homie Brooke. He's organised a section for us.
Paying for drinks?
17 Duke Street, Abbotsford. That's where it's happening. 5 p.m. this Friday.
I'm not used to this whole thing. Are people going to like
it? It's a bar.
Is it
you
be
go
a pressure
up and you
to like,
get a drink
oh, I'll
and
get
you
a
pay.
Drink for you guys.
Like, you can do that. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got offered a drink the first time I had a drink. Richard, CEO of Bastion Effect. Mm-hmm. We
have
had
you,
Ferg, the founder, on. He offered to buy me a drink.
Mm-hmm. Have you offered anyone decline. This year?
Yeah, when I was with James and my brother, we all bought a round each.
Okay.
And so that's some etiquette that you can do if you're like the three of us
if
go.
It's 15.
Like, I'll buy three drinks. You buy three drinks. You buy three drinks, and then we're done.
And so if there's 15, I just feel the pressure being the show and all that sort of thing. I just don't want to set crazy expectations where it's.
Well, we could buy. Do we want to buy one round? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
maybe.
I think
I mean,
you're quite
so,
generous.
So, yeah, I mean, I would do that.
But make you more comfortable.
Yeah. So we just say
it won't be that much.
So we just say that. We say, if you come on Friday,
we'll buy you a beer.
Buy you one beer, you fucking Gronk. One beer, right?
One beer.
You don't have to buy us a beer back.
Yeah. If you come looking for the company card again, get out.
Because, that would get crazy if everyone had to buy a round.
Do you know what I'd love? Harry there with the company card. Just, hey, guys.
Yeah. Happy Harry.
Have you had one beer? No, you've had one beer. You're done.
Yeah, happy Harry.
Celeste, out. He'd be very, very fiery. I'd love it.
Anyway, it's a daily talk show. See you tomorrow, guys. Have a good one.
See you, guys.